So we continue from where we left off last week on the subject of biblical response to crisis. Biblical response to crisis. As you are aware, we read from Second Chronicles, and we read from verse 11 to verse 15. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all that Solomon had planned to do in the house of the Lord and in his own house, he successfully accomplished. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon in the night and said to him, I have heard your prayers and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence amongst my people, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. May God bless the reading of his word. Just to recap for a few minutes, we are looking at how should we respond biblically to crisis. And from the text that we have read, there are three things that we actually focusing on. The first one is we have already spoken about the possibility of God allowing crisis to come our way as God's people. We have seen there in verse 13 where God says, if I shut up the heavens and there's no rain, when I send the locusts to devour the land or send the pestilence amongst my people. So we said that we clear about the possibility and we know that God can do it. He can, there's nothing that he cannot do. And we also said that the second thing we're looking at is how God expects us as his people to respond, which we have read from verse 14. And last week we dealt with the four things that God says, talks about to Solomon. The first one being, if my people will humble themselves. And the second one being, and pray. And today we are going to be looking at the third and the fourth. And then we are going to conclude by looking at what God promises to do if his people respond biblically. And there's quite a few things that I want us to look at there. And I really trust that we are all going to be blessed by what we are going to be dealing with this morning. So in verse 14, the Bible says there, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. We are focusing on seeking God's face. If they will seek my face, if they will seek my face. I think the first thing that we need to attend to is, what does it mean to seek God's face? This is one of the phrases that you would hear Christians using. I'm seeking God's face. I'm seeking God's face. So I was seeking God's face. And you just wonder how or what is it that they were actually doing. But I want to say, friends, seeking God's face is actually, this concept is more like in the ancient times when somebody was going to be seeking audience with the king. It will be more, that would be the expression that you would use. I want to see the face of the king. If you are seeking an appointment with the king, that is the language that is used. It is used over and over again in the book of Kings, first one and two Kings, where a person wanted to see the king, and it will be like, I haven't seen the face of the king. It is also used in the book of Esther, when Esther was to go into the king's palace and have a discussion with him about the fate of God's people at the time. And Esther said that, I haven't seen the face of the king. I've not been invited to the king. So that is where the whole concept of seeking God's face comes from. But it is actually an expression that says we're seeking the presence of God. We are seeking the presence of God. And we are seeking the presence of God by seeking His will. We want to know God's will. We want to know what pleases the Lord. And the intention is that once we know the will of God, once we know what God expects from us, we are going to follow God. We are going to do what He says we must do. So when God says here, if my people seek my face, He's saying, if they seek my presence, if they seek my will, if they seek my ways, if they seek my statutes, if they want to know my law, if they want to understand what I want, if they want to understand what I want them to do, and if they understand how I want them to conduct themselves in the world where they live. Because, friends, we will remember that from the time God took Israel out of Egypt, the message has always been clear. God expected them as His own people to live differently, to conduct themselves differently. He was to be their God, Him and Him alone. They were to be distinct from all the other nations that were around them. So they were to pursue God. They were to continually pursue God. They were to consistently and constantly seek to know the word of God, the will of God, the ways of God. They were to seek God all their lives. So friends, here, that's what God is saying here. I just want to mention this thing here. When you look at it, this is what God is saying. They should be doing it, and they should be doing it continuously. The same way as we said, when God said, if my people humble themselves, He's not talking about a temporary humility where they would come and they would say, yeah, we actually submitted ourselves to God, and then after a certain time, they're back to their old ways. The main thing about what God is saying here, it's that they've got to be continually doing that. They are to continually humble themselves before Him. They are continually supposed to be praying to Him. And here they are supposed to be continually seeking His ways and seeking His face. So God's people were to seek God's glory. They were to seek His power. They were to seek His majesty. They were to seek His beauty and in His holiness. They were to seek God as the source of life, and they were to look at God as the reason for their existence. That's what God was saying. So seeking God's face is actually about seeking His presence, seeking His ways, following His statute. That is pursuing the will of God. We see that same expression used in 2 Chronicles chapter 26 in verse 4. And the Bible talks about Josiah there. And he says, Uzziah. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of the Lord. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. So this is in reference to Uzziah. So what Uzziah did when he became a king, the Bible says he started doing what was right before the Lord. And then he set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah. And how did he seek God? He was instructed in the fear of God by Zechariah. He was instructed in the law of God. He was instructed in the word of God, through the word of God. And that's how we see God, friends. There's no other place where we will find God except if we go to his word, except if we come to him through prayer. But even our prayer is guided by what we know of him through his word. And the Bible says God blessed the work of Uzziah because he was seeking him continuously during the days of Zechariah. Although we realize that later in his life, Uzziah had pride and eventually sinned against God, and God punished him with leprosy. But there's a clear statement here that at the beginning of his reign, he sought the Lord. He sought the Lord. In Lamentations chapter 3 verse 40, this is when God's people were now in, after they were taken to exile. It says here, let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts and our hands to God of heaven. We have transgressed and rebelled, and you have not forgiven. Now, when we are seeking God, the starting point is we've got to examine our ways. We've got to see where we are in relationship with God. And then we return to him. We lift our hearts and our hands to God. That is in surrender. We surrender to him and we say, God, we have been going our way. All of us, we've been going our way, but we want to know your will. So this is what Israel was going to do. This is how they were supposed to respond to crisis when they come knocking in their doors. They were to seek the Lord. And again, you would find that statement when David was to go to war, he went and inquired of the Lord. He wanted to know if God, is this your will for us to go to war? Now, when we seek God, we've got to seek God for being God. We've got to want to have fellowship with God because he is God and we cannot live without him. Here, the point that I want to make, friends, is that God was expecting his people that when they see things happening in their lives and they did not understand, the issue was they were to look at themselves. The issue was not God. They were not supposed to question God. They were to know that God is faithful. He's a promise keeper. He's a covenant keeping God. They were to know that God is holy, and they were to know that God is righteous in his judgments. He's righteous in everything that he does. And there was no blame to him. The only place where their fingers were to point, they were to point to themselves. They were to look at themselves and say, what have we done? Not what has God done. So in Matthew chapter 7 verse 21, Jesus says that not everyone who says to him, Lord, Lord, would see the kingdom of God, but it's only those who do the will of God. Now, The point here is that we are to seek the will of God. We are to pursue God. We are to want to have a relationship with God. We are to want to love God more and more. We are to want to serve Him more and more. We are to want to worship Him more and more. Friends, we need to have this desire in us to find out exactly what is the will of God. What is it that God wants us to do? Take for example for the children of Israel. When they left Egypt, in Exodus chapter 20, God gave them His laws. I mean, the Ten Commandments. And then in the book of Leviticus, it was the law that explained how they were to worship God, how were they supposed to relate to one another, and it was a whole lot of things that they were supposed to observe. But in case that they would have forgotten the Ten Commandments that God gave them, the same were repeated in the book of Deuteronomy. Most of what is recorded in the book of Deuteronomy has been recorded in the book of Exodus. Why is God repeating the same things that He has already said to them? Okay, we know that the issue was some of them had already died. Some of the people that had the law as given to Moses had already died, and this new generation had to experience God in a new way. But the point is, God always wanted His people to know what He expects from them. They were never supposed to come to a point where they are like lost in the world and they don't know what God is expecting from them. And I want to say that, friends, we as a church today, if we want to apply this, we've got to go back there as a church, going back to the Word of God, seeking God in His Word. Because today when you go to churches, you would realize that man's theology has replaced God. The worship of God has been replaced by entertainment. Man's philosophy has replaced the Word of God. We know so much of what the world says than we know of what God has said in His Word. We are no more taking advice from the Word of God. We are taking advice from psychologists and from politicians and from people that don't even know God. You find that today in the church, people quote some people that they don't know, some philosophers that they don't know, some people that say a lot of sweet things. We know what they say more than we know what God has said in His Word. The church of God, when we want to know how to run the church, our first place to go is not a book on management, but it is a book of God. That is the Word of God. That is the Bible. That's where we need to find what is God saying about His church. When we don't know what to do as the church of God, we've got to go to the Word of God. We need this urgent return to the Word of God, because we have deserted God and we are doing our own things, and we are doing them in the name of God. So this is what God is saying to the church today. When we are in crisis and as children of God, we should not be like unbelievers. You know, unbelievers, when they have crisis, they run to sangomas, they run to traditional healers, they run to witch doctors, they run to prophets, they want to hear what is it that's going on in their lives. Friends, we are not supposed to be going to the same place where sangomas are going. We are supposed to come to God in prayer, and through His Word, God will minister to us. Some people would want to say, oh, I want God to talk to me. God, please talk to me. And every time when people stand before God and say, God, talk to me, I think God is saying, you have your Bible, just open it and read it so that I can talk to you. And somebody asked me the other day and said, when was the last time you had a fresh word from the word, from God? And I said, this morning. And he said, what did God say? And how did he say it? I said, no, I was reading my Bible, and in my Bible, I heard the word of God say this to me. And he said to me, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a fresh word from God. And I said to him, you know what? There is nothing that will ever be more fresh than the word written, revealed word of God, friends. Because the Bible says the word of God is powerful. It's more than a two-edged sword. It is able to go deep down into our souls and judge us, friends. So it is living and it's effective. And it is the word of God. And that's where we find God. We cannot find God outside His word. Friends, if you are seeking for God and you want to experience Him in a particular way, let me tell you, you are not going to find God until you have read His word. If you want to find God, go to His word, the Bible. Read it. As you read it, you will find God. Let us seek. Let us seek the face of God. And we seek the face of God by seeking His will, seeking what He has said in His word to us. This is more like seeking God. It's like wanting to experience revival in our relationship with Him. The only time we can seek God, friends, is if we come to a realization that we have drifted away from Him. Now, if we don't realize that we have drifted away from God, then we can never seek Him. I think it's Paul Washer who said that sinners must be lost before they find salvation. You've got to be convinced of the fact that I have not been walking in the ways of God. That is the only time you would seek God with your whole heart. But if you think that you are right, if we as a church of God today, in the world that we live in, if we are saying the church of God is in a right state, and we're saying we okay, man, we okay, everything that we are doing, we fine, and then we'll never find God. And friends, this is a secret that we've got to discover as a church of God. We've got to continually stand before God, continually go into His word, and check our own ways. Like David said in Psalms 139, where he said, God, search me, Lord, and see if there are any wicked ways in me, and lead me to the life eternal. We've got to be crying out to God and saying, Lord, where are we? God, we need you. We've got to need God. We need to come before Him and desperately ask Him to reveal Himself in a new way to us. In Psalms 85, the children of Korah, there's this psalm that they were singing. And in the psalm, it's a prayer to God. And I want to read from verse 4 to verse 5. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger towards us to cease. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you draw out your anger to all generations? And then they say in verse 5, will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us mercy, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Friends, this is a prayer of people who are seeking God. O God, will you be angry at us forever? O God, turn our hearts to you. O God of our salvation, and may your anger turn away from us. This is a prayer of somebody who is seeking God. And he says, God, would you be angry with us even to all the other generations? And then they say, O God, will you not revive us? Would you not give us life again? Would you not restore our relationship with you again, that your people will rejoice in you? Almost as saying, God, we want to rejoice in you again. We want to experience your joy again. And they are saying, God, show us your mercy. Grant us your salvation. And friends, this is what we need to be saying as we come before God in times of crisis, to say that, God, we need you even at this time more than ever before. And you see it when you read the book of Psalms again and again, how the psalmist was crying out to God in times of distress, in times of trouble. And friends, we should also be doing the same. Let us seek the Lord. Let us seek the Lord and continue to seek him. Verse 14, again, the last part of verse 14, God says there, and they turn from their wicked ways. They turn from their wicked ways. So God was saying to Israel, they have to be turning from their wicked ways. Now, you would wonder, what would be these wicked ways that God's people were to turn away from? But if you read in the book of Judges, you would see that they had this attitude of turning to God during the times of that particular judge. And when the judge dies, they will go back to their sins again. And most of it involved the sin of idolatry. If there's any sin that was a trap in the lives of Israel, is the sin of idolatry. Their hearts always wandered away. Their hearts always pursued other gods. And God says here, they've got to turn from their wicked ways. So it's not like it's a once-off turn. It's two things involved here. First, they have to turn to God, because that is what repentance is all about. Friends, repentance is not only about turning away from sin. It is more about turning to God. People do turn, sometimes people try to turn away from their sins. But it doesn't mean they've repented. Repentance doesn't start with turning away from sin. It starts with turning to God. When you turn to God, and then you turn away from your sin. So if these people would have humbled themselves, and they would have prayed, and they would have sought God, that in itself means that they would have turned to God. And then the last thing they were to do is to turn away from their wicked ways. And that's how it works, friends. We cannot reform ourselves. We cannot make ourselves right, and then after we are right, that is when we can turn to God. No. We turn to God, we come to him just as we are, so that we would know that it is him who sanctifies us, it is him who justifies us through the blood of Jesus, so that we would not take any credit and say, I have made myself right. So that's why we have to understand it that way. We turn to God and we turn away from the wicked ways. Now, Israel had a tendency to every now and then go back to this, the gods of the people around them. In fact, if you go with me to verse 19, rather verse 16, for now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And as for you, if you walk before me as David your father walked, and do according to all that I've commanded you, and shall observe my statutes and my judgment, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom according as I have covenanted with David your father, saying, they shall not fail you a man to be the ruler in Israel. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have said before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them, and this house, which I have sanctified for my name, will I cast out of my sight, and I will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house, which is high, shall be an astonishment to everyone that passes by it, everyone that passes by it, so that he shall say, why has the Lord done this to his land and to this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore, he hath brought all this evil upon them. So, what I want you to see here is that these people, they were to turn away from these wicked ways. And they were to turn away from all the other gods. They were to serve God and him alone. Now, when you go to chapter 8, the same book of Chronicles, and you, as you go to, chapter 8, and as you go, you would see how God really blessed Solomon. But later in his his old age, Solomon did exactly what God had warned him. God had warned him not to do here. He went and served the other gods. Actually, he married women from the nations around them, and those nations, those women, when they came to Israel, they came with their gods. And if you, it was not long after that that Solomon already, Solomon also joined in the bandwagon, and he started serving those gods, the gods that were brought to him by his wives. So, what I would want us to see here, friends, is that we cannot live in sin, we cannot live in wickedness, we cannot continue our wicked, our evil ways, and still claim and still think that we can have a meaningful relationship with God. This is what God was saying to Israel. They had to turn to him wholeheartedly. At one point, through the mouth of prophet Isaiah, God said to him, they serve him with their lips, but their hearts were far away from him. They were never connected to God, never had any relationship with him. They at some points, they were keeping the commandments of God, but not out of a heart of worship. But they were keeping that as rituals, as tradition. So it was meaningless. You see, friends, when we sing to God, when we praise God, when we worship him, when we pray to him, we should not do it as a ritual. We should do it as something that is meaningful. If it is not meaningful, it means nothing to God. It really means nothing, friends. So here I want us to see that God wants his people to turn away from their sins. Even in the times of crisis, we have to be telling people to turn away from their sins. David said in Psalm 66 verse 18, he said that, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me when I pray. And the Bible says that you will never be blessed if you try to harbor, you try to hide your sin. But if you confess it, you will find mercy. So Israel was to turn to God, turn away from their wicked ways, because they had a tendency of mixing God with the gods of the nations around them. They forgot that in Exodus chapter 20, in verse 3, God said, "You shall have no other God but me, and you shall bow down before no any other God but me." They were worshipping the gods of those people. Eventually, they married women from the nations around them. And God's people, the moral fiber of God's people, was compromised and diluted and tainted. And then continually, they were walking away from God. In fact, they did not turn to God until God allowed other nations to be stronger than them, and they were taken to exile. Exactly as God had said to Solomon. God said to Solomon, if you turn away from me, and these people turn away from me, God said, the very same house, the very same temple that you see, the very same land that I've given to you and I've blessed you with, God said, I will uproot you. I will pluck you out by the roots, out of that land, and send you to foreign lands, to exile. And the house that is beautified and glorified as it is now, God said, people will pass by and they will hiss their hands and say, what happened to God's house? And it shall be answered and say, because they turned away from God and they did not do God's will. If I want to take this closer to us, you see, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 19 and verse 20, it says that the foundation, the solid foundation of God still stands. And it is sealed with an inscription that says, the Lord knows those who are his. And everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. Today, people want to serve God without turning away from their wickedness. People want to come to God with their sins, not with the intention to repent from their sins, but to worship God while they are keeping their sins. It cannot be, friends. God is holy. He demands purity. He demands holiness from our side. He demands that we turn away from every evil thing. We have the Holy Spirit to convince us, to convict us of every sin in our lives. We don't need somebody to stand before us and read a book of sins. We know them in our hearts because the Holy Spirit has convinced us that this is wrong and this is wrong. Above all, friends, we have the Word of God to tell us what is right and to tell us what is not right. So we cannot come. This is the problem. Israel had this problem. We also have the same problem in the church today, that we want to serve God, but not his way. We want to serve him our own way. We want to follow him, not his way, but our own way. We want to commit ourselves to God, but not in the way he has prescribed it in his word. We want to form our own ways of worshiping God. We want to borrow from the world how best we can serve God. We are actually friends with the world. The Bible says friendship with the world is enmity to God. But in the church today, you would find that the church is more worldlier than the world itself. Somebody remarked and said, the world has become churchy and the church has become worldly.
So we can't win the world. We cannot be the light of the world. We cannot be the salt of the earth. We cannot be messengers of God. Why? Because we live the same way as the world. God says, if they will turn from their wicked ways. And I think even today, God is still saying this to us, those who think of ourselves as God's people, washed by the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, and filled by His Holy Spirit. God is calling us to turn away from our sins of idolatry, from our sins of sexual immorality, from our sins of worldliness, from our sins of pride, from our sins of drunkenness, from our sins of love for the world, love for sin, from our sins of syncretism, from our sins of unbelief, our sins of compromising the gospel. God is calling His church to turn to Him. Even at this time when the nation is in a crisis, when a nation is facing a disaster, God is calling for His church to turn away from wicked ways and turn to Him. Today in the church, we want to worship God, but we also love our sins so much. And now because we realize that our sins are a stumbling block in our relationship with God, rather, we rename these sins so that they do not sound as bad as they actually are. We call theft misappropriation of funds. When somebody steals money, there's a new word. They say it's a misappropriation of funds. When a person lies, we are saying he's being economical with the truth. When people live in fornication, we call it cohabitation. When people live in adultery, we call it affairs. When perversion, we have renamed it adult entertainment. And today, sin, we don't want to say people are sinners, they are sinful. We rather say they are sick. And instead of calling people out to repentance, would rather give them something else and say they are not as bad as they actually think of themselves to be. They just need to adjust one or two things in their lives. This is idolatry of the highest degree. That we are worshipping the world. We want to please the world. We want to fit in the world and also serve God at the same time. We have even decided to mix our own traditions with the Word of God. We want to come to God, but not only through His Son alone. We still want to keep rituals so that these rituals, they would connect us with God. We don't want to come to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. But what am I saying, friends, this morning? I am saying, if we will turn away from our wicked ways, God will hear us and He will heal the land. Look at what is happening in the church today. The very same world that is crying out to God today. We have turned away from God, friends. We have removed God from our education system. We have removed God from the public life. In fact, it is seen as if people stand up for biblical standards, the world laughs at them. The world mocks them. They are looked upon as if they are backward. Today, friends, today, we are the people that have decided to change the manner in which God decreed marriage to be. We have decided marriage between a man and the only option we have. Men can marry men. Women can also marry women. Our young people are getting into transgender. They are changing their genders. God made only two genders. And I think today we have around 20, 21 genders in the world today. The very same world that is crying out to God today because we are in a crisis. I was reading some statistics from the World Health Organization, and they say that in the world today, every year, between 40 and 50 million abortions take place. 40 and 50 million. In other words, it's almost like 125,000 abortions per day. And they said that in the U.S., they have 3,000 abortions per day. We are the world that has turned away from God. Instead of protecting innocent lives, we are slaughtering them at the altar mercilessly and in cold blood. And friends, we are going to stand before God one day for all these evils that society has allowed, that has been legalized in our countries. Today, nations of the world want to legalize prostitution. The very same nations that are trying to turn to God, calling to God now that the world is in a crisis. They want to call unto God, but they don't want to turn away from all these wicked ways. And I just wanted to show you that, friends, we've got to turn to God. We need God. Only God can save us now. Only God can heal us now as a country. What's going on in our country, friends, when look at the statistics that are coming out, gender-based violence taking place the abuse of women, the abuse of children. Friends, all these things that the government doesn't have solutions for are saying to us, it is time that as a people, in the same way as Israel had to turn to God in times of crisis, we also have to be turning to God during this time. And in verse 14, as you come to the end, God promises three things. First, he says that I will hear their prayers, and then I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. And so we know that God hears our prayers when we pray in the right way. When we humble ourselves to him, when we pray to him in accordance with his will, when we seek his face, when we turn away from our wicked ways, he will hear us, friends. He says to his people here, I will hear you and I will forgive your sins. And then he says, I will heal the land. By healing the land, God was saying, because I would have sent the rain, I would have withheld the rain, God was saying he will actually release the rain again. And because the locust would have destroyed the land, God was saying he will restore the land, he will heal the land, he will make it productive again. In other words, God was saying he would do exactly what Solomon had asked him to do in his prayer in chapter 6. Now, let me conclude, friends, by saying these four things that God says we should do, his people should do, and these three promises that God says he would do. I want to mention that God will do it in his own way, in his own time. We don't control God. We don't control when God will do something. That's why I have issues with these scheduled miracles. Because people schedule miracles. They know exactly what miracles are going to happen. And that's why when they are not happening, they now have to fake them. But when a person who comes to God in prayer must also be willing to give God his own way. We must remember that by praying to God, by turning to God, seeking him, continually being faithful to him, it doesn't mean that God owes us. God owes no man. He owes us nothing. Because in any case, everything that we have comes from him. We know that he is faithful. What he said he would do, he would do. But we also know that he will do it at his own time, at his own way. And when we come to God in prayer, we should then realize that actually we don't come to God because we have a problem and we want him to sort it out. We actually come to God in prayer because we need him. Whether the problems goes away or they don't go away, but we need him. We are better off with God in crisis than being in crisis without God, or having solutions to the crisis we still without God. The main thing here is that God's people were not supposed to focus on the crisis themselves. They were to find God. They were to see God. They were to surrender to God. They were to submit to God. And they were to turn to God. And they were to turn away from their sins. And after they have done that, if they had God, God was going to capacitate them to be able to deal with whatever the situations that they were facing. May I challenge you, friends, this morning to say that it is time that we truthfully and faithfully and honestly submit ourselves to God. If your life has been, you've been wandering, you've been moving away from God, moving away from his will, you have been arrogant and full of pride and going away from God, it is time today that you turn to God. It is time today, friends, that we humble ourselves before God. It is time for all of us, friends, that we start seeking God. We start to pursue God. That we start putting God at the center of our lives. That we start placing God where in a place of prominence, a place of priority in our lives. That God will be our God, the only God we have. That God will not be our second option. That he will always be our first and our last option. It is time. If you've been living in sin and you've been living in your wicked ways and you are bound by the pangs of your sin, bound by the cords of your sins, and you don't know how and you don't know what to do, it is time that you turn to God. And friends, we thank God that Jesus came and he lived in this world and he died on the cross for our sins, and he was buried, and he rose from the dead, so that through his death, through his blood, he can reconcile men and women who have strayed away from God. And today we have Jesus as the mediator between us and God. We have Jesus as the priest between us and God. We have Jesus as our intercessor between us and God. We have Jesus as our advocate before God. And if we want to humble ourselves before God, if we want to seek his word, if we want to turn to him, turn to God, and turn away from our sins, the starting point is for us to give our lives to Jesus. The starting point is for us to receive Jesus, to come to him in humility and beg for his mercy and for his forgiveness. And as we trust God and knowing that he is with us throughout all the crises that we face, either as individuals or as a church and even as a nation, we need to go out and spread this message. It is time that we turn back to God. Thank you, and God bless you.